Perhaps you can talk about the recent, like the last 3 months, the sort of, you know, process,
the lead up to this,
the ideas that have, you know, pretty much changed, I guess, in the last few months, and the two separate distinct worlds.
Yeah, it was interesting. Well, I guess when I was invited to have a show here, I kind of merely had a sort of kind of pressured expectation of myself to kind of really nut out some things that had been kind of lingering deeper in my practice that I wanted to push them a little bit further and actually, you know, just kind of question them and see what would come up. And so before the show here, I guess I was always intending to do something that was quite, I don't know, I guess something that's more immaterial than material based, you know, and moving away from something that's directly sculptural or object driven in some way. And the things that were coming up in other works and other points in my practice were this kind of ongoing questioning of the artist's relationship to art practice and the kind of the, you know, the classic kind of conundrums of what an artist does in the studio and what drives that process, you know. So, and this work.
Could you say the conundrum of making?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
as
yeah.
To say thinking.
Well, it's a hard question. I guess there's both, and there's crossovers between the two of them. But yeah, it is like I have a love hate relationship in my studio, you know, and I have a ridiculously small studio, and I don't see myself as being a studio based artist. But I, you know, for a trial and error, I realised that I need to have one for that, literally for that process of kind of going there and kind of beating yourself around and nutting out ideas and in some ways kind of bouncing yourself off the walls, you know, to get things nutted out. And it's a space where I kind of think out aloud in some ways through my practice. And I guess that's so somewhere to a large extent where this work kind of came from. It came from that process of just what is in the studio and those kind of expectations on that you place on yourself to kind of resolve things with whatever is might be in your studio and whatever ideas you're trying to actually kind of to push further. And I did have blocks of clay in my studio, which I like. I can't remember why I bought them, but it's kind of an extension of that. This seems almost like having a blank canvas or having a kind of a perfect sheet of paper or something like that. That, you know, there's the potential of something within just that medium itself, or just that material, that really raw material matter. And that's something that I've been interested in for quite some time, is that sort of really rudimentary, raw aspect of just physical matter, you know. And I guess the work I did a few years ago called Downgrade, which was a whole lot of IKEA furniture that was kind of mulched to go into a beanbag, was, for me, it was more about that. It wasn't about consumerism. I don't know if I would know how to define consumerism, you know, but it was more about play on matter and the processing of that in a kind of very really sort of visceral. That was me roaring. The play on that in a sort of really visceral way of how to sort of manipulate something into a kind of in a spatial way into something that is compromising its kind of its integrity almost, you know. So for me, this piece, the more I've been thinking about this piece and working through it, it kind of has a relationship to that somewhere. I can't quite put my finger on it, but it sort of feels like it's a sort of a movement from that original work. So yeah, it was, it, you know, it was this this thing of this show, wanting to have this show and wanting to actually just, you know, let the space speak as more as an object itself, and to kind of, how to do that was the question, I guess. And I'd done a show just before this conical show came on the cards, where there was a hinged wall. So I kind of came into this space with this sort of, you know, light bulb kind of went on my head when I saw the hinged wall, and it was sort of became this thing of, I was quite intrigued by coming here prior to, you know, a few months prior to the show and just shifting that wall and just seeing the kind of displacement of space in there and the way that that kind of immediately created a tension. And so that kind of, that drawing that relationship back to the ridiculous process I was going through in my studio of just throwing clay, shaping a block of clay with the four walls, six walls of my studio, was something that then, you know, they started to kind of marry up in some ways. And so it did become that question of how to activate a space in a sort of, you know, non-object way, but in a kind of some sort of material.
Which we often sort of throw. There seems to be something, I guess, fundamental. And I would make the same observation about this show. It's almost as if it's spirit-based on the point of twisting the very nature of what I can represent. And in that, it seems to have certain essentials for that.
Yeah, I certainly think it's stripped back. I mean, initially envisaged myself showing here, it wouldn't have been this, which is what's here now. I think I've tended to be a person that kind of throws more and more in rather than taking things out. So it's been quite a process of pairing things back. And I suppose for me, what fundamentally it's been about for me is working out how much you can put in and what you can get away with, in a sense, how little you can get away with in terms of representing something or representing a thought. So that's been quite interesting for me to go through. Working with things like the positioning of things in space, the actual choreography of the space, in the sense of where things are placed, as a way of referring to another space that already exists somewhere else, rather than actually coming in and trying to represent it in a more obvious manner. So with aluminium framing and things, which is what I've used in the past.
Just and maybe specifically, could you talk about the aluminium framing and your original desire to build something?
Yeah, well,
and then leave the ultimate indecision to leave it unwrapped.
Yeah, well, I was all prepared. Lots of aluminium, I've got lots of aluminium left over. Look, originally, because the idea for this show is about referencing another space, which is a house that I'm working at in Eltham, Beran House, my initial idea with that, which didn't change really, was this notion of setting up a series of stations in the space here that reflected a series of stations that are workstations that are happening out of the house. So I had that sort of fundamental kind of structure set in place, although I wasn't that sure how that was going to pan out, but I had that, just that structure in my mind when I began. And that became, and how that actually eventuated was determined by what actions I ended up doing in the house. But then alongside that, I had this notion of building a structure in the space here with aluminium that was going to represent almost like a diagram, a sense of spatial diagram of my ideas of the notion of, sorry, I'm trying to find the words, of a notion of compartmentalisation, which I've been looking at in the house. So it was going to be represent the space that was at the house in Burrum, but also become a vehicle for my ideas of this notion of compartmentalisation. But once I got in here, and I began initially working on the stations. It's not stations at the cross, by the way, but you know the little hot spots in the space. The further I went along with that, the more inappropriate the other structure seemed to be. I started to mark out the space with lengths of the aluminium on the floor and start playing with the idea of what this structure was going to be. But then I just couldn't bring myself to do it, really. It just didn't. It seemed to be taking the work somewhere that I didn't want it to. And I think because I initially, with the small stations that I've been sort of working with in this space so intently, became about the arrangement of how they're in space to suggest the dynamic of this space. And so then coming in, putting a structure in with it as well, seemed like a doubling up, like kind of illustrating something rather than needing to be there fundamentally. And so what I ended up with the aluminium structures was I ended up leaving traces of that initial process of laying things out on the floor with the raft aluminium sections, and also just me playing with looking at where the openings, which will sort of suggest doorways or thresholds in the space that were lent up on the ceiling beams, and kind of just didn't need to be in place. So it was very much a pairing of that sort of process, which I certainly didn't expect. It's quite liberating.
Just, yeah, you love that duality that you don't do that. What part does the duality between things, you know, the two sides?
Yeah.
The divides,
yeah.
Probably in the video.
I think what was happening also with the notion of not wanting to build this structure is that, yet the whole premise of this show with this notion of duality, is I didn't see the point in illustrating something here, literally in that sense, that already exists somewhere else. Because the elements that I've ended up making here for this space here, they're in no way meant to replace what's happening at the house. And I felt as if I built the structure here, then it would be, it would be standing into something that already exists somehow. So it's
I think we talked about hierarchy in one stage of creating some type of index.
Yeah.
Like, is it this space to perhaps represent?
I think certainly that a lot of the work here, which has been hard to get my head around, I must admit, is a lot about absence and about the suggestion of something that's happening somewhere else. And I think actually before, you know, this show eventuated, I don't think I really envisaged that was how it was going to work. So being actually in the space and working with it here has really influenced the way that the show has eventuated or materialised. But and I think there's something that I mentioned to you, Adrian. I've sort of suddenly realised that show has shown in an artist-run space for a long time. And I think a lot of that, it really influenced me working here, which was a really liberating and sort of back to my roots sort of feeling, which is really nice.
Just
that, like thinking I don't have to answer to anyone here. Well, you know, not quite, but you know, I.
Except when you take them things out of the office.
Well, no one was around, so. But yeah, no, it was a really. I felt that it felt very much like an extension of my studio or something in that sense, rather than feeling like there's a structure over the top of you sort of holding you in place or something. So, certainly the work even just went through a number of changes in the 2 weeks leading up to the actual opening, so it was quite...
I think that was really apparent in the process with both you, Carolyn, and Anthony, this sort of resolute, almost territorial sort of quite strong feeling over both of you, yet this willingness to experiment when you got into it. And it was quite, it's not something you see all that often. You both had these quite formed ideas of how things were going to, I guess, be seen in the outcome, but not in terms of how the process was going to unfold.
Well, I did feel like my little stint here in Stalling was just an extension of my studio as well, and that's kind of similar way that certain things couldn't be resolved elsewhere other than here in that period, so they kind of almost hit a use by date with the idea leading up to the show. It was like it just kind of had to wipe my hands clean of it and then wait until the period of the install to see how things would actually come about, and I kind of really enjoyed that process of just spending time here and working through it and actually, and literally kind of coming in and being involved with the matter of the work on a kind of daily basis and then throwing it, working it. And it was that kind of thing I said before about the studio almost being this space of where you do think out aloud, in a kind of some sort of material sort of way.
Because I'm doing this residency, have been doing this residency at the same time, when I was coming in here, I felt very much like I was doing like a little residency here, I was inhabiting the place. And I think that's for me in terms of being able to feel like I could push things as much as I wanted to and the freedom to do that. Having that framework over my thinking like that, as in like I'm inhabiting this place. That's why I was in the office, sort of pulling things out, crossing a few boundaries that perhaps were a bit dodgy. But I think having a notion of habitation and sort of pull the boundaries down for me.
When I came into the site, I felt it was under liquidation. It was ordinarily a space where you show off your wares, but on this occasion there was a moment where I registered the workstations. I didn't have the backstory of the residency. I took the blurb away and read that, so that made me think a little differently of the experience. But I knew that some things were still very potent as work sites and other things were in the state of being apparently moved in, but on the cusp of being moved out. So that state of flux was very apparent here, but almost in a dormant stage. And when I went into Anthony's space, there was clearly an attitude. So my idea about the trace or the remnant of the attitude is a little like when you see the squash ball marks on the walls. And I thought, is he kicking shit up because of what's happening to the site generally? It looks like a reaction to what's happening here. So for me, I'm always amazed at how these spaces are curated, often very compatibly. But on this instance, it felt very ridiculously right. Yeah, really, really good. Yet this reference is art. I can't help but think this is like a reaction to some kind of art problem. The problem, it's like the Richter's nothingness, is that you end up creating something anyway. So yeah. It's real shit.
Yeah.
It eludes you constantly. The more you try to do nothing, the more you make.
Mm. So this is my part for death with the swan song, for example.
Yeah.
That's the last image of the camera thrown through space.
Yeah.
And the residue is shown. You know. It's an interesting maneuver. Like, you know, the tendency is to show the process of the throwing the clay out, throwing what the camera hits, you know, the bus seeing slack out. To show them it's like after death.
Yeah.
And so on this little screen over here, we have the last best, you know, it's like, make it happen, this, I'm not sure what it is, it feels like maybe it's clay or something, something's happening, but there's a, yeah, there's like a spin happening, there's a process of enlivenment, just a little pulse, it for me works as a pulse, and the rest is, it's on the way out. So it's interesting to hear you speak of the transferal. For me, having only experienced this site, this is being transferred to somewhere else.
Did that happen?
Well, that's, yeah, it has been a dialogue, which has been interesting. It did really affect me making the work here, which I hadn't anticipated. Maybe I hadn't thought ahead that much about it. That this was fixed on this notion of having the duality of the sites. And it definitely has influenced the way I work back into the house. To the point where I wish I had another month, really, because I still think I'm kind of working through those issues now. But it finishes next week, unfortunately. But, no, it definitely affected what I was doing out there, yeah.
Could you see it? I mean, what would be the generative product beyond these two things then in terms of your practice?
I think it's hard to say that it's only just this experience here. It's a dual effect, so it's that both of the experiences. But certainly, I've been thinking a lot more about how I represent my process, how I feel that representing my process is important, rather than the outcome. It's like with the video for me was a really important, I think it's a really important work for me, full stop sort of thing, because it's actually, I've been working with waxes and things for a long time, something that I do, but the problem became, for me, one of the sites in this is the sink out of the house in hot water and working with the wax in the sink. I began with two hands and then just by sort of chance I was trying to photograph, actually for the invitation for the show actually, but trying to photograph my hand because I didn't have anyone else there. I didn't have a tripod. Trying to photograph my hand working with the wax one-handed, and then I started to think about that, sort of the observation of myself doing that and the one-handed business. So then it split from being two-handed to separate-handed. So I've now got left-handed and right-handed objects that I'm producing.
Right hand's doing
Yeah. And so then it was like I tried doing both hands at once, and that was really, that was hard. And then I started doing the hands separately. And that all came, merged into the work here. And I think because I was thinking I wanted to translate the process of what I was doing, but not, I didn't want to just bring the objects that I've been making and plop them in the gallery, and oh, there we go, there's a display of what I've been doing. It seems very much about the important that it's about the process. So I like that sense of distance or removal. The focus is on the process, the observation itself.
With that little conversation on Saturday about just the video itself, how the hands remind you of what the body is. Just the height. You look at the hands and you see that the hands are healthy and there's no calcium deposits in the DNA.
Like yours.
And you make out the sexuality of the hand. And then it tells you a bit about the body behind the hands. And that was, you know, this whole sort of split that you've been working with two sites at once. Is magnified, you know, because a number of the people coming through this show or the show at their house will not see both.
No, that's right. And I guess with, along that notion, I mean, initially I did imagine that it would be a more obvious connection, but then once I started doing the residency, I just couldn't. It felt too direct, and it felt the idea of having both the venues open at the same time. I don't know, I retreated from that. I think it was probably feeling perhaps a bit exposed out of the house. Didn't fancy the idea of people trampling around. And I forgot what I was going to say.
Feels wash basin height as well. So maybe that's automatically referencing the body, if not the other. But yeah, so I felt like I was going up to it. Have that moment, yeah, the sink.
Yeah. But isn't it also because your body is the body? Because you stand there as the body, because your hands are being
my
hands. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it could be anyone.
Yeah, no, it's not me.
No, that's right.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean.
Feel the position.
That position.
It could be anyone, but it's sort of suggested that it's
not distinct.
Singular sort of intimacy, but you only take it so far.
Well, a lot of the work at the house I have been doing is very, very intimate and very quite subtle in some ways. And I think maybe it's that notion of introspection as well that I'm trying to communicate. And like with your work, Anthony, there's this act of repetition. Mm. And I guess what I'm thinking about with a lot of things I'm doing out of the house is about the drive to do something, which your work feels very much about.
Yeah,
a absolutely. Drive to make things, something happen, to generate something.
Mm. Out a of grappling. Or,
yeah.
You know, and it just sort of
so it's not actually about the thing, you know, the object, it's the action. Mm. Yeah.
Industrial, it's the idea of action. What action? Where will that take me?
Mm.
Is this viable?
Mm. Yeah, exactly.
I feel we're both spaces have actually been made somehow viable through the redundancy. So there's a slightly it's a little dystopic, it's not all together optimistic. There's a certain amount of circumspection.
Yeah, absolutely.
What I'm interested in. Trip area. So it's not just old gung ho, it's what is at play, what is at stake, what is this industry towards? Thank you, questions very much.
Anthony, the large piece of play up on the top here. The decision to—that's where it landed. Is that how it worked?
Yeah, like it's interesting. The process started out as a very non-precious process, you know, where it was literally just shaping the block, you know, that very repetitious way, and things lodged themselves in kind of natural ways. I didn't want any sort of pretense to. Sort of formal or aesthetic decision, but
eventually
it starts to become that, you know, eventually it starts to sort of turn back on you when you start to make a decision about when you stop, you know, when you...
It's an isolated form in space.
Yeah, absolutely. So then it starts to come back to be this this classic sort of sculptural question of the formal
sort of thing.
Yeah.
painter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lee talked about the art problem before. This, you know, we may have touched on this briefly in conversation, sort of the notion between modernist and formalism. When an object makes itself, it's perfection in itself.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know, maybe that is one of the sort of art problems of this clay as
common. Continually
grappling with the way that's,
And it's almost that part of
a sort of entropic history, if you like.
And the clay has to be moving because no one's picked up one of them.
I expected that one that's sort of lodged between the bulkhead and the wall to have fallen by now and kind of broken in half or something. But because it's so malleable, it just sort of lodged itself into these really obscure spots. And it was always, there was a sort of a real dumbness to the way it would slap the wall and then sometimes fall and then sometimes slap the wall and sometimes stick. So it was almost sort of... there was like a humiliation to it, to the process as well. You know, it kind of... Hearing Carolyn talk about the hands and that kind of the bodily aspect, that for me this felt it felt figurative, you know, and not only in the sort of formative sense, but in the object kind of itself. It was almost like a sort of very malleable physical bodily kind of thing. You know, clay's like that. And clay has that sort of we have that relationship to the way we understand its density and stuff, and it has a sort of very a strong similarity to, you know, our own bodies in that kind of density. Yeah, exactly. So it it is very head size and the markings obviously being kind of reminiscent of shit or of, you know, kids kind of throwing clay in high school, kind of that sort of classic thing. So there's a sort of, I guess there is a deliberate cheekiness to it as well, to say, well, you know, where do you start and stop, and where does a form derive from, and the role of the artist in that.
I love the idea of you getting on the plane with clay from Tasmania and flying up here and having to say, you know, I'm an artist.
Yeah.
With your hand like it's full of
clay. Yeah. I'm going to let you bring Tasmania tape.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
what's that?
The 20.
Oh, they're... No, I think they're 10. I think they're 10. Yeah. So.
20 or excess weight.
Yeah, that's right.
What is really...
I didn't bring it with me. Sorry to destroy that. No, I didn't bring it with me. No.
I thought this was the same.
Yeah, no.
I thought this was the same stuff that had been in your studio. And
I've got blocks in my studio. But the stuff I used was the classic sort of Northcote pottery stuff. And I came here just thinking, you know, I just got to go to Northcote and get all that clay.
This sort of... Like, you know, grappling with the idea of completion is sort of quite interesting, particularly in relation to sort of that compartmentalising. I always recall how I experienced the work that you made at six. What would you call it? The portico of the outside of New South Wales, the cloakroom area?
The cloakroom and vestibule.
The vestibule. Yeah. And the other work that you created, which I think was down a level below, the inability to draw a visual cycle between those two works meant that you carried the image of the first down the stairs, and you're witnessing the second sculpture, which was more of a discrete sculpture. Somehow it became haunted with the other image of the work that you just experienced up on the first floor.
That connects quite strongly with what I'm trying to do with the first side of the house in here.
Sure.
And I guess there is that notion that they can't exist both at the same time. It's either one or the other that it's really interested in. And that maybe it's also, I guess, you know, it's a classic sort of problem, if you like, of making work that I was thinking about, of making work in the studio and then shifting it to a site So I've been thinking about the relationship of where you make a work in a site, whether it's site-specific sort of questioning of that whole notion. Like, for example, the work at the Art Gallery of New South Wales, you know, in my mind I would say, yes, it's site-specific. But then, and you know, it's designed to be made for that space, but it's not really, really site-specific, as in you don't make it on the spot, it's not sort of formed in the space. So it's a more purist idea, I guess, of something that's site-specific. So I guess looking at these, having the show here and having the show, the show, it's not a show, having the things that I've been doing out in the house at Elson, to me is about that separation of the subject of something, the subject of the work and the work. Whether it's making very clear that, you know, how do you represent the process and the process of what you go through in this particular place, in this location, and then translate that into another space without repeating what you've done in the initial sort of site. For me, that's sort of the question I'm sort of grappling with somehow. Yeah, it's been actually going back to that notion of what happened after I put the work, made the work here. In going back to the house, you know, I'm having sort of a bit of an open day in the next couple of days. I've been, you know, raking myself over the coals about, well, what am I showing people? But what is it here that, you know, it's not a show. I don't want, you know, I'm not making a spectacle. I'm not sort of making something for people to come and look at. And it's been quite had to be quite disciplined to not actually get myself sort of dragged along that sort of road that I know so well, how to make something with an audience in mind. So it's been quite, you know, had to be disciplined.
Is that the distinction you make between, say,
well, I didn't want to go and then after
the,
here.
The show? Is it the
well,
audience?
No. Well, yes, but no. I think that's what I have done in the past. And I think maybe where this show here is a bit of a departure for me is that I was not necessarily really thinking a whole lot about what people would make of it when they came and looked at it. It felt, that's why I say, I guess it's like an extension of the studio. In other cases, maybe if I've had an exhibition somewhere else, I will always want to defer and think, oh, well, you know, if someone walks in here, what sort of experience are they going to have, and la la la. So it's sort of stepping back from it a bit, and I feel like I haven't stepped back from this work that I've made here. So I feel like I've made it here. Not totally, but I feel like the work was more made in this space, for this space. And now at the house, in knowing that people will actually come and have a look at the house, just, you know, restraining myself from doing a number on, you know, sort of starting to turn it into an exhibit of some sort.
Yeah.
So it's quite, challenging.
Take lines and place them with, you know, various things, just, you know, completely, you know, confuse that person who's not knowing the other side, and they'll be just going, it's talking about the history of this building in particular.
Yeah.
And, it's about these, and it's about the history of this.
Yeah, you can read it that way, that's right. Yeah.
But you've concealed the vulnerability of this show. I wonder if this is a space you have for this, it's more exposing.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely. I think, well, look, you know, the reason I'm very interested in residencies, and I've been doing them for years, really, but more recently, over the last sort of 4 years or so, I've been focusing on them as a vehicle, as a way of working, and it's very, you know, it's extremely subjective, I guess, and that's where the vulnerability lies, I think, because I actually try not to think, well, what's something going to make of what I'm doing here. It's all about, you know,
so you might be looking for interventions or what type of experience are you envisaging people might have when they come to visit over the next few days? Come to my studio.
Does it require you to have come here beforehand?
No, it doesn't. Yeah. The way I approached the residency was with this notion of the way one moves into a house and settles into a house. So finding different sites in the house that I find particular processes or actions. So finding a place where I could make things, finding a place where I could think, you know, how do you walk in and show the room while this is where I was thinking? Or place where I would write, that's a bit more obvious. And the way I sort of dealt with that, with bringing the writing to the site, rather than bringing my writing here to the gallery, I wanted to record the sound of it. So So at the house, you know, there's a series of sites where I've done things, and then there's remnants of my activities, you know, there's, you know, boxes of drawings or things, objects on the sink. But and I've made a few little adjustments to the space, which I see as like little renovations, which is kind of an extension of me kind of willing the space to change, I suppose. I was interested in the way how I'm starting to project on the space and wanting to change it. So I sort of, some things have manifested themselves as little sort of mini renovations, I guess. But yes, no, it's going to be interesting watching, yes, having people around and me dealing with that.
Will you ever stop living there at the time?
Well, yeah, no, I'm not there. So, yeah.
So it would have been somewhat evacuated or day to day?
Yeah, in some ways, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's also the issue. Do you clean up? Do you, you know, what do? You do some house cleaning? You know, it's kind of...
coffee on?
Yeah, or you just leave everything as you drop them. So it's like that. But no, we're coming to the end of the residency, so I could keep everything there. But, you know, a bit like what I've done here with taking the covers off the windows, I've left traces of things, you know, just of my activities. I haven't sort of tried to hide them at all. But having said that, it's a pretty bare house. You know, it's not a house that you walk in and feel like it's homely necessarily.
So
it'd
be like when you walk into an apartment and
you've
got residency or find a broken things to put on the ground or it's been
this chair's from that. Desk is my desk that I always work with. Yeah, that's the desk that I move around. When I have residencies, I take that with me and I work out my little slides and do things with that desk.
So it really is the video, isn't it, at this stage?
Yeah, but interestingly, what I've done too is the plate that's sort of separating the two halves. I've actually made a table which is a replica of the original table that I've put out of using the plates. So I have. Because I was with the conundrum, of course, once I've removed my table, what was I going to move? So I've ended up making another table, which is standing in the original table. Anyway, it's a bit circular.
Yeah. There's some quite specific references here, the ink drawing on the floor representing floor tiles.
That actually represents, I think I did some drawing on the window, which most of it's
I noticed that on Sunday.
Yeah, just totally didn't get it. Lots of things people didn't notice. Often they didn't notice this either. That actually isn't... That refers to the space where I was drawing, actually the space that I was active in the room, rather than being literally a plan of the whole, you know, the room, so the whole room. it's actually more the space that I would use for the next space. Mm.
So what is it? So a door?
Yeah.
It was interesting.
It's actually
it becomes more of a generic sort of architectural reference rather than sort of motivated. It's just, you've chosen just to leave them as is a position in this kind of, I guess,
well, they're out of alignment too, which I quite like. Because it doesn't match up at the top, you know.
But they match up at the front, don't they? They match up at the bottom. There's one that match up at the door of the gallery.
I was conscious of sort of sight lines across through these because after that corner, things like that.
Probably marking out a new enclosure for us.
Could be.
So there's these sort of universal wrappings and there's all the way
over. Yeah, it flips in and out of sort of direct references, but I chose to place that table in relation to the fireplace wall because that's sort of where I do a lot of my writing. So I've worked with the actual space in that table. So it's kind of a mixture of influences, I guess. And then I've sort of made traces of marks from previous sort of things I've been doing on the floor here as
well. I'm sort of intrigued with this idea of distancing when you talk about this space. This space line. I wonder if that's something that would be propelling or motivating you in the future.
Yeah.
And I feel that coming from Anthony's bit, that there's this sort of the disquiet or a lack of trust coming from this special presentation and the removal of the presentation.
Yeah, well, I guess Caroline before mentioned the absence, and I guess that's something that I think about a lot in my works as well, because there is sometimes my work, particularly these two, there is that really strong performative element, but I'm not comfortable with the performance. It's not where I want the works to go, and what David was saying, how it's kind of the result of something as opposed to the video of the throwing the clay or something. I'm more interested in my detachment, my removal from that. I think that, for me, creates, with a work like this, it creates something that's sort of unsettling. You know, it's like the space has just been vacated, or you know, you're sort of experiencing something that sort of has a tension. It's kind of in limbo, perhaps. You know, perhaps it's still, tipping over somewhere.
It's sort of ironic, isn't it? It's a general deflection from most shows. It needs to be more clearly than a whole huge
amount.
Despite this sort of desire to, you know, to remove this, to try and, I guess, represent the arts process.
There is this kind of like blatant questioning going on that we're both really sort of questioning not only our medium, but the classic thing, your title of your show, The Will to Build, I mean, when I saw that, it's like it really strongly relates to what I'm doing in that space, and there's a will to kind of find answers to something that's sort of, it's almost perpetual, it's almost impossible to find answers to it, and,
that title that it was actually a title that I've have not titled things for years. Like I used to title things, and then for some reason I stopped completely titling it. So it was a big move for me actually to even title something. So, but I guess, you know, I've had that phrase in my mind for years, and it does, you know, there's a certain absurdity to it. I guess it came from my, it is quite an obsessive sort of thing that I have about building things and making structures, but always things that are to be pulled down and you know, they're ephemeral in the sense that they don't last and, that, you know, no one buys them, no one, they don't go into collections, they don't go anywhere, they just go back into the...
Just get dismantled and
back into the materials, yeah. And I think... you know, that's, I guess... In me actually titling the show, it's sort of for me bearing that sort of look at this for myself, but also in a public sense. But then I guess then I'm kind of retreated a bit when things are a bit more obscure in here, I suppose. But I think it's not a coincidence that I actually in the end decided not to do a big number. You know, I decided not to build the big structure that I was imagining.
So in some ways it's kind of, it's not so much like a, how did you phrase it, a fuck you attitude, it's more like a what the fuck attitude in some ways, you know, and that's, that's how I feel it is for me, and that's why I say it is this ongoing question.
Self-questioning.
Yeah.
Why am I going to show it?
Adrian mentioned the thinking making, whether it's a dialectic or what, I don't know, but it seems stamped all over him in the show, and with Carolyn's title as well, the will to build, and that you spoke about this compulsion to always be making, constructing, and I think that's a sculptor's itch as well. You know, we've got these practices that kind of try and encapsulate you know, physical responses to materials and also conceptual, you know, intellectual responses, but sometimes you've just got the block of clay in your studio and it's burning a hole in your pocket and you just want to make something with it. Yeah. What am I going to do with it? Well, I'm going to throw it at the wall.
You know, there's a sense of responsibility, a sense of guilt to it. Yeah, all those sort of...
Yeah, and then there's that thing of work coming out of work, you know, and yeah. I've got this thing and it's not, you know, I've got to break through somehow. And the physicality that, I mean, I feel like a bit of an insider with this piece of Anthony's and with a lot of his work, I suppose. It feels like he was bouncing off me before he's bouncing.
Yeah, it certainly was. Yeah.
But
you're a lot more durable than that as well, actually.
Yeah, but there's a real physicality to Anthony's actions, and it comes through in this physicality. I mean, there's a physicality to all actions by the nature of them being actions, but there's a kind of robust physicality to a lot of the things he does. And it's interesting to see this letting just the trace of the action itself stand rather than artifying it with video or a photograph, which is a much, in a way, it's a safer way to go.
Yeah.
You know, you've got this artifact and it's a conventional kind of format and it's an accepted way of doing it. Whereas this time around, you've just come and held the stuff around and the physical exertion is palpable. And I think people can relate to it more as an experience of that exertion. Like, I think it was Max Laney's daughter said, "Oh, it looked like it was real fun, you know, to be doing it." Whereas I don't think she would have had the same response to a photograph or a video you know, hurling it. So that, I think it was either,
like you say, Adrian experiential.
Or Dave mentioned there's, you know, there's this kind of removal of that extra layer of abstraction, you know, as we're it's brought it kind of closer to me.
Probably extrapolating beyond, but I was just thinking as I was sitting here talking about your work actually as well, the bag in mid air and what was sort of different but somehow similar sort of gesture, but it was just that sort of the impact smash was there and the sort of floating.
There's those things of, well, like Carolyn said, spoken a lot about sight lines and, you know, the Simon's practice is kind of deeply entrenched in that as an ongoing kind of inquiry as well, and for me, it's not something I've really thought strongly about. But for this work, there is that obvious kind of trajectory, you know, of how to exist beyond just the inescapable kind of bodily physical sense of your own self, you know, of how to kind of experience a space through something that's malleable, something that can leave a trace of your involvement with it, and you know, it's very much that with the camera and the like, you know, photography's kind of been something that continuously rears its head in my practice, and it's normally by sort of creating some sort of anthropomorphic kind of relationship between objects, or possibly more kind of direct way of me being sort of anthropomorphic with a space or an object or something in some way. So, but for this time, it's sort of, it's different. It's more about that camera, that camera being an object itself, but something that's capable of actually being also something that's two-dimensional and flat in the image and capturing a moment that I can't even experience myself. It's happened 20 meters away or something, you know. But there's that projection, the projection of an idea or the kind of proposition. So, yeah.
With the launch, is it on a? Did you have it on a time?
Yeah, had it set.
It had to be a mighty good throw. Yeah.
Like, yeah.
You
well,
to put a bit of force behind it to kick it out there.
Yeah.
So that the timer elapsed and the shadow took the image in the sky.
Yeah, that's right. So it basically. You know, you're obviously not going to know what the result is, or whether you're just going to get a broken camera with a.
Off and hits the ground. You know, like,
yeah, that's right. It takes a certain amount of time for a digital camera to process an image.
Yeah.
Whether it be a second or half a second or a couple of seconds, I don't know what it is. So it was very much that just questioning something in the unknown completely by letting it tick away and then throwing it, and that purely being the work itself.
Yeah, both pieces have got the object responsible in the presentation. Mm-hmm. So if you take the clay balls out, the three main clay balls, and take that, take the camera away, mm-hmm. perhaps take the light box away as well. Mm-hmm. The photograph without the catalyst, mm-hmm. and the space here without those three.
Just the markings alone.
You know, I'm not saying better, good, worse, mm. but I'm just saying how they look then.
That was my next question too, Dave. I was going to Ant, like, I'm wondering how you feel now about, you know, if the camera with the light box and the photo and everything, it seems more of a conventional arrangement and perhaps more typical of what you've done in the past, whereas the throwing balls of clay and stuff in the enclosure, that feels like a, I don't know, it's a step forward, but it's a step somewhere else, somewhere different. You mentioned before that old chestnut of where you stop sort of thing.
Yeah.
But the other question it raises for me, and I suppose Caroline's spoken a bit about this as well, is how much, or what do you need? Not necessarily, you know, is that, like, have you kind of thought over those kind of things?
Yeah, well, that was the tricky one with the swan song piece with the cameras. Is to whether to use the camera and if to use the camera, how to use the camera in the work, or whether the work just becomes the camera, or whether it's more about the image. And I do think now, and I did think this to a large degree before as well, is that the work could just exist with the image alone.
Or the card.
But I think just the image and just that kind of that subtle suggestion of what it's taken, of how we've arrived at this image in the title or whatever it might be, sums up that distinct moment, that the process of making that work. You know, and like I say, when I threw that camera, essentially that action was the work itself. You know, these are the traces of that. I didn't know whether I was going to get a photo. I didn't know whether it was going to be a photo of me standing in the middle of the car park 20 metres away. So all that was kind of very much undecided, and it's sort of still in some ways conclusive. I'm not sure.
Is whether it's any good or not. Yeah. That's the other thing too. I mean, the swan songs. I mean, I'm just on a tangent again. Sorry, but I'm thinking about like the last album made by a band. Is it better than the first? You know, that conundrum. And I went there because of the swan song.
Yeah.
And I thought about it in terms of life after death of all of the arts. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
The death of the process.
Yeah.
And you take the choice to do it this way, and then you've got the image, and you go, "Well, that isn't any good."
Mm.
You sit up, and
it's not. Get it's shit.
Yeah. And you ask yourself the same. Yeah. It's risky. It's good.
Yeah.
It's not.
But in both works, what we're seeing is evidence of a process or an attitude, and it wouldn't matter to me whether, I mean, I didn't even think about that image. I had actually no attitude about that image. I kind of got it pretty quickly, but that's nothing, yay or nay, until I come in here and I get this quickly, as in I understand the evidential element. I'm then left thinking of what I'm not able to grapple with, which is what propelled the doer to provide these results. So I'm glad of the matter, that I have the matter, because they strongly hold evidence of operations, and I want to know what's really, you want to think about what's behind those operations.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you have got the physical.
I think it's really important in this work. Because it is as much about these clay forms being the sort of embodying the space, being the void of that space, if you like. So I think that's and to play on that kind of that classic thing of the positive and the negative, basically this form kind of encompassing this kind of spatial inquiry, if you like. But with the photographic piece, yeah, I don't know. It did come back to that thing where the camera all of a sudden became somewhat of a beautiful dead object itself that needed to kind of needed to be raised onto a pedestal as that kind of final gesture.
I sort of looked at it from in the office on the higher path, and over the top of the ladder. Really beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's interesting because you're sort of going back.
It's like the dead camera with a little baby inside it. You know, it's like you throw the dead cow on the side of the road, and then it's like, oh my God, there's something alive inside.
Yeah,
it.
Sure.
So you've got the old print.
I did like in that Constructive World show, that retrospective show. I like that video camera on fire. I'd like to see the film that it was making. I did like seeing that.
There's
something quite delicious about that. There's something delicious about turn these black things into some sort of a granite top. Or it's amazing what that place is now. Like just the beautiful things that are in the show. Even our floors not flat.
Are they guardrails? Are they guarded?
But it makes them look.
It is like I kind of like that little. A little loop around that you almost need to take in order to go into my space.
I like the railing and the walls sort of like.
Take a bit more away. Crib a bit more.